to a very special podcast episode for both our Experience Darden podcast as well as our Exec MBA podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and today I'm excited to feature a conversation I recently recorded with the Dean of the Darden School of Business, Scott Beardsley. Scott recently took time out of his very busy schedule to come on the podcast and talk a little bit more about his background, how he's navigating a current coronavirus pandemic, and thinking about leading the school into the future. You're going to enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, here is my interview with Scott Beardsley. Scott, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Brett.
Well, appreciate you taking time. I know this is a very, very busy time for you. I want to start just by checking in and seeing how you and your family are doing. How is everything at Pavilion One?
Everything's going well. We have a full house. Our three adult children, age 23, 26, and 28 are all home, plus one of their girlfriend, who's a master's student at McIntyre, and our niece. So we have a full house and a new puppy named Lonnie. She's a beautiful golden retriever and brings a lot of joy to us. We're very fortunate. No one is sick for the moment, but we're all working and living out of Pavilion One on the lawn in our UNESCO World Heritage Site at UVA. And there's a lot better. There's not a lot better places to be. I feel very privileged to be right where we are, and we're doing fine. Thanks for asking.
I'm glad to hear that. It does sound like a full house. So I've seen Lonnie on social media, a beautiful dog. What was the inspiration for getting a puppy?
Well, we had a golden retriever for a long time. Her name was Java, and she passed away about a year ago. And she was 17 years old as a golden, so we were lucky to have her, and we just love dogs and golden retrievers in particular, and so we signed up for a new one, and Lonnie was brought into the world at the end of January, and we were able to pick her up in February. She was actually born maybe in December, but we were able to pick her up in February, and she's named after the residents that live on the lawn, which we call Lonnie's. And so she's now queen of the lawn.
I have no doubt about that. I know what a big tennis fan you are. And I know your days have likely been very long and full of activity. What are you doing to maintain your energy and take a break from time to time? Are you reading anything, watching anything? How are you spending this time?
All of the above. I'm a big believer in managing your energy levels. It's as important as managing your time. If you want to get the most out of the time that you have, you need to manage your energy properly. And I've been reading some interesting books, notably a book called Ikigai on meaning. And I've been starting to read A Brief History of Time by Stephen Hawking, and also a science fiction fantasy novel by Terry Goodkind, who is one of my favorite science fiction and fantasy authors. So I've been reading a lot. I also listen to music because I'm a music fan and used to sing in a band. So I've been listening to some of my favorite live performances, like David Gilmour, the guitarist of Pink Floyd, live in Gdansk, some Coldplay live concerts, and also Celebration Day, which was Led Zeppelin's last live concert, and also Muse, some tracks from Muse's latest album. I saw them last summer in the Stade de France. And then physically, I walk to and from Darden every day, and also go running with my brother, and occasionally can still play tennis with one of my sons. So those variety of things I'm doing to keep my energy level up, and of course playing with Lonnie and just being with my family is something that I always take great energy from. I love seeing our children, and they're usually not home anymore, but the COVID crisis has brought them back for a short period of time, and I'll take the silver lining there.
For those of our listeners who have not spent time in Charlottesville, this is truly one of the beautiful times of the year in Charlottesville. Obviously, natural beauty of the place is one of the real highlights of being able to be there as a as a student, but April, May, it's a great time. So just to reiterate, if you're trying to imagine what Charlottesville is like right now, it's very, very nice. And so, Scott, I thought we might take this opportunity on the podcast to talk more about your background and your story and also your leadership philosophy and how that's helping you sort of navigate this uncertain time. So our listeners may not know your story. So tell us more about you, where you're from, and in your career.
I wrote a book on it, if anybody's really interested, called Higher Calling, The Rise of Non-Traditional Leaders in Higher Education. But the brief story is that I was born in Maine and then raised in Alaska. We moved there when I was a kid, and then studied in Boston and initially as an electrical engineer at Tufts University, then worked in Silicon Valley, hit the first tech bubble, and then went to business school at MIT. And after that, joined McKinsey & Company, where I did a 26-year career, of which 24 of those years were in Brussels, Belgium. I married a French woman, and we moved to Europe. And from there, I ended up moving from Waterloo, Belgium, back to the United States to join the University of Virginia in Charlottesville. So I've had a very wide-ranging career. I've lived in different places, and I worked in over 40 different countries while I was at McKinsey. So I'm kind of a global citizen, a little bit of a nomad, but with deep roots and love what I'm doing. I realize that, you know, the things that give me the greatest meaning in life are related to helping other people achieve their full potential. And I'm a deep believer in education, and I came from a family of educators. And so I was the black sheep of the family that ended up going into the business world. And at some point I figured out that maybe it would be the right thing for me to go into higher education. And I did my doctorate while I was on the board of directors at McKinsey at University of Pennsylvania. I studied higher education management and did my doctorate in that field. And just decided that I wanted to have another full chapter in my life related to helping other people in education. And that led me to Darden, and it started 5 years ago. So it's gone quickly, and I'm delighted that I made that choice, and it's worked out well.
Did you always know you wanted to live outside the United States? We talked to students who that was always part of their plan. I wonder if that was part of your plan.
You know, when I grew up, we didn't have a lot of resources, and certainly never were able to travel abroad. I lived in Maine and Vermont as a little kid, and in Vermont and Burlington, where both of my parents worked at a college called Champlain College. We were very close to the Canadian border, and my grandparents lived in Montreal and then Newfoundland. And so I was always curious. When I was a little kid, we could pick up French TV stations from Quebec. And I was always fascinated with what might there be, and then what might there be abroad. And then moving to Alaska, I came into contact with people from all over the place, because at the time, the oil in the 70s was booming and attracting people from all over the world, and Russian airspace was closed. And so all the international flights between Europe and Asia passed through Anchorage. And I was always interested in what it would be like to go abroad, but I never was able to travel really as a kid. A big trip for us would be to go from Alaska back to see our family in New England. And then, you know, through the power of education, one summer I studied in France. I wanted to learn French as a language, and so I studied abroad in the summer of 1984 and met this beautiful French girl who became my wife, and that changed everything. And then one thing led to another, and I had a very international career, and I was always curious about the world. I wanted to discover it. I wanted to see it. And I was always curious about other people and where they came from. And I was very blessed to have a career that allowed me to work all over the world, which was something that I was attracted to by my natural curiosity in other people and other cultures. And now I'm able to work at a very global business school that has people from all over the world too. And it's all worked out, and I'm still married to my wife, Claire, from the French Alps after more than 30 years of happy marriage together.
This is a time of year where we are thinking about students starting at Darden, and we obviously have typically about a third of the classes from outside the United States. I wonder how your experience moving from the U.S. To Europe informs your feelings and understanding of those students' experience or empathy for their experience.
I have a deep belief that business is global, and I have a huge spot in my heart for people from other countries because my own wife is not American, and our three children are Belgian, French, and American citizens. They're citizens of three countries, and I myself am also a citizen of France in addition to the United States. So I'm a believer that, you know, business is global, and that we have interconnected economies, and certainly we're learning with the COVID virus that we all have a common shared humanity that ties us together. And our commitment to international students and global business couldn't be stronger at Darden. And it's just been, you know, reinforced by my own work all over the world and also my personal life that there is a lot of connections and that business is truly global. You name me an industry that has no international component to it. And I'm interested in talking to you. Almost everything has some component, whether it's buying ingredients in your supply chain, or having different customers, even something as simple as education has a very global component to it. So, you know, we're really looking forward, as we always do, to a global incoming class, students that have a global perspective. They want to learn about the world. Maybe they've experienced some geography through their personal or professional life, just people with different perspectives, different backgrounds, and certainly those who have the right mindset to want to learn about the world and how business operates globally. That's the kind of the way I think about it, and feel right at home. Actually, here in Charlottesville, it's quite a global community. In fact, one of the deciding factors for my own wife to be willing to move from Belgium to here was the food scene in Charlottesville. It's incredibly varied. There's international food from many different countries. And Charlottesville, in some ways, has been sort of a sanctuary city, welcoming refugees from all over the world for several decades, or several decades, 10 or 20 years, let's say. And when we came here, we found this incredible patisserie where they make French croissants and pain au chocolat and things like that, and called Marybeth. And just the whole scene in Charlottesville is very welcoming to those from abroad. And we're very happy here. And most of the international students that we meet are really excited to come to Charlottesville. It's a dynamic 230,000 person city, but it's not far from Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, and there's just a lot going on here. So we feel that we have the best of both worlds, one of the best places to live in the U.S., but also at the same time, it's quite global. So it fits.
That's great, and it's a fantastic place to spend a couple of years in business school, that is for sure. So curious about how your deep experience at McKinsey has been helpful to you as dean. There are not a lot of business school deans at any school, let alone a top school with your background. And I wonder how that's been helpful to you and helped you navigate these first, you know, 5-6 years of your deanship.
Yeah, well, I'm not here to say that my background is better than anyone else's background, but it's my background. And what I can say with certainty is that the global experiences I had at McKinsey, the opportunity to lead in a setting where shared governance, you know, McKinsey's a private partnership, and you have to lead through influence and through shared governance rather than through hierarchy. And leading in that context in many ways is analogous to leading in higher education. And that training and experience base of, if you think of senior partners as being highly educated, very independent, and not being told what to do, that kind of is similar to what it's like dealing with very talented faculty. And I think the mindset that I needed to have at McKinsey has been very helpful here. Plus, I just love solving problems and working with talented people. And in that regard, there's a lot of similarity. Also, the types of problems that you're solving, business problems in different functional areas in global settings, mirrors what we do at Darden. We have cases that cover business situations from all over the world, and we have students from all over the world, and we have to solve a lot of problems, not only for our teaching and our education, but also as the dean, you have to solve a lot of problems. And I found that training to be extremely helpful. And it's been something I lean on every day. And, you know, leading a higher education institution is a form of a business. It's just called a not-for-profit business, where your objective function is something other than profit. But nevertheless, you have to try and perform better and better and improve every day and, you know, lead teams and build strong teams and make sure the students are getting a fantastic education experience. So that combination of experiences at McKinsey plus the outright commitment to excellence, which McKinsey had, I have found to also be true at Darden. The commitment to the best teaching in the world, the best educational experience at Darden is as strong as McKinsey's commitment is to great client service. And so I've found there just to be a tremendous number of analogies. Of course, the main difference is that McKinsey is a for-profit institution and has a different objective function than Darden does. But there are a lot of similarities, values-based, lots of talented people, very global, leading through shared governance, and so on.
You mentioned coming from a family of educators. You've even found your way into the classroom to lead a few classes. Do you want to talk about some of the electives that you've delivered over the past few years?
Yeah, sure, Brett. I really enjoy teaching. My teaching load is actually zero. I'm not expected to teach at Darden, but I choose to teach a number of courses because I want to learn myself as a lifelong learner, and I just love students. And I thought it would be a great opportunity for me to grow as a person, to learn from some of the best professors at Darden. So I developed a number of different courses. So to give you all a sense, I teach basically a strategy consulting elective and examine some of the key strategic frameworks that you can use with corporations. So I teach one section of that in the executive MBA and one section of that in the residential MBA. I teach a course in Thomas Jefferson's original classroom, which would be our dining room in Pavilion One. And that course is called Maximizing Leadership Potential in Sports and Business. And really, it's a course about how do you get the most out of your life. In addition, I teach a another elective called the CEO Leadership in the 21st Century, which examines crises and major leadership decisions that chief executives need to make. And finally, I teach a global course. This year it was on community-based conservation in Africa. In previous years when we could travel, I took students abroad to Italy and also to Israel, Belgium and Holland, and Cuba. And I'm planning on going back to the global courses as well. And then in addition to those, I guest teach in a couple of other classes. One is called Managers in Action, and another one is called Ambiculturalism, which is how the same situation can be perceived in totally different ways in different cultures. So that's just a flavor of some of my teaching. So as you can see, I'm doing a lot of it. Actually, I'm teaching tonight and tomorrow night. The main motivation is to learn and to share what I know, but also to stay close to the students. And it allows me to build relationships with them and to get to know them. And then they tell me what I need to do better as the dean. And that's always helpful.
One of the great things about the University of Virginia, we talked about it here a bunch on the podcast, is this tradition of student self-governance. And as a dean, you mentioned not just your classes, but you obviously work closely with the Darden Student Association. They've been here on the podcast. Other student leaders, students with ideas as to how to make the school better. You are a former MBA student yourself. How does that experience of having been in their shoes, so to speak, help you think about how to do your job better, to make the school a better place? Any lessons or memories from your time that kind of guide you in this work?
Well, for me, it's all about the relationships. I do what I do because I truly do love students, and I believe in the mission of the school to try and make the world a better place through developing responsible leaders through great, unparalleled educational experiences. And truly do believe in that mission. And I love developing relationships with the students. First of all, I'm just curious about who they are, and they're very interesting people, and they have incredible backgrounds to share. And I always get a great pleasure out of getting to know individuals more deeply, and teaching helps you to do that. Being a dean, if you're not careful, you can become too removed. And teaching is a great way to stay connected. And then I work directly with the student leaders to try and understand what it is that is on their mind, and to see where we might improve, what we should keep doing as well. What, you know, most things are working extremely well, but always try and listen to what small ideas or big ideas they might have to take the school to the next level, to improve the student experience. And you know, work directly with the Darden Student Association leaders and listen to them on a regular basis. And they always have my cell phone, and they know that they can call, share their ideas at any time, and I'm open to them. And, you know, the other thing is my own children. You know, Claire and I have three boys, young men in their 20s. Two of them are planning on going to business school. And so I know just from my own household, the types of struggles and questions and things that are on the mind of a business school student. And I always enjoy trying to understand what the issues are, and then to see if there's something we can do to make somebody's life better or improve their experience.
Well, that is, I think, one of the unique aspects of Darden is the sense of community and the way it's expressed because of the small size of the school combined with the learning experience. You know, faculty and students talk so much about the locus of the community really being born in the classroom. Sort of everything springs from the way that students learn, and this great tradition of students being engaged outside the classroom. It's over 50 student organizations at this point, which is incredible. So I want to take some time here to talk about where we are right now, you know, as a school, everything that's going on, obviously higher education, unprecedented times in some ways, at least recently. What has the past month been like for you? I was thinking earlier today about how, you know, you kind of transitioned to virtual classes, and those are ongoing as we finish out quarter four, and obviously a lot happening at the school as we respond to the coronavirus pandemic. How have things been for you as you've navigated this?
At one level, they've been extremely busy and intense because there's just been such a fast changing environment. It's been all hands on deck. At the same time, it's also been a period of great innovation and teamwork and collaboration. The interesting thing about the current crisis is that with little travel, there's actually more time to think and to get things done. And I've just seen a surge of teamwork and innovation, collaboration, because I don't have to travel as much as I might otherwise. And that has allowed us to come up with some of the innovations that you all are starting to see. But I won't lie. It's definitely been very intense, and the need to communicate and make decisions quickly and to work also with the university and within the confines of, you know, a overall framework. We don't make all decisions by ourselves at Darden. We sometimes have to listen to the governor or the president of the United States under their guidance, or to the university president or the community of Charlottesville. There's different levels of authority. And, you know, we've tried to focus on what do we know and what do we control at Darden, and to move as quickly and decisively as we can based on facts, based on teamwork and collaboration, listening to lots of different people to address the situation. In what might be a little bit ironic, I teach a class on scenario-based planning and a strategy under uncertainty. And so I've been very well served in the last 4 to 6 weeks with plenty of uncertainty and how do you make decisions in that type of environment. But I found that to be a very good period of time, and also one of intense connectedness. So in one way, you're isolated during the COVID virus because you can't see people physically except your family, your immediate family in person. On the other hand, the number of connections I've had with alumni, with all the students, with the faculty and the staff through town halls online, so many different town halls and forums where there's been lots of communication, lots of questions. And so in some ways, I've never communicated and been interacting with more people in such a short period of time. On the other hand, it's been very intense.
I can absolutely believe that based upon the daily updates that we get, all the news from both the business school and also the University of Virginia, and what seems to be a constantly evolving situation. What have been you noted sort of the how quickly the school is moving and how much information is being processed, and what have been the guiding principles for you and the team as you've navigated all of this? And has there been sort of a touchstone for you as you've thought about this is how we want to try to address this situation?
Yes, there definitely have been some values and touchstones. In a world of great uncertainty, you have to always ask yourself, well, what do you know? And one thing we know is that our values remain. And part of our values is ensuring the safety and, you know, good health and welfare and well-being of those in our community. And so that is, you know, that is the first thing, is you have to make sure that everybody is taken care of as best you can. And, you know, that has resulted in, you know, having to make decisions that nobody enjoys making, including me, of moving classes to online or everybody would prefer, I think, or most people would prefer, you know, to be in person and having a good time together in the way it was before the virus. But you have to first say, well, what about health and safety of everybody? And how do we ensure ongoing operations and continue our education mission, which actually works quite well online as well and much better than people might think. But in addition, there's other key values, compassion, flexibility, a global and diverse and inclusive environment, you know, the things, you know, maintaining our community. Those are the values we have. And as I've made decisions, I've always been trying to think about, okay, what is right for the health and safety? What is fair and compassionate? What is going to continue our commitment to a global, inclusive and diverse environment? How do we continue to build our community? And in all of that, how do we manage excellence and continue to stay absolutely outstanding in delivering our educational mission? Those are some of the guiding principles, touchstones, and values that we've leaned on throughout the crisis, and that they endure. They endure whether you have a crisis or not. Those are still always the most important things.
Are there any experiences that you've had previously that you're drawing upon? I don't think any of us have been through anything quite like this before, but any experiences that you're reflecting upon saying, gosh, that's helpful to me as I think about, you know, what to do next?
I've never been through something like COVID, but there's a few things I've been thinking about. The first thing I think about is, actually, a lot of the time I reflect on my grandmother and the way that she grew up. She was born in 1912 and lost two of her sisters to the smallpox. They died, and then had World War I, and then her father died when she was 8 years old, and then the Great Depression hit, bankrupted their family business. And then came World War II and so on. And throughout all of that, she had a huge influence on my life. She was an astrophysicist in a time when most women were not doing that. And, you know, she always told me that, you know, there's a way through these crises. And she was one of the most optimistic people I've ever seen. So I've often reflected upon, you know, how lucky we are in our life to have not faced so many different tragedies the way that they did. In my brief experience on this earth, there's a number of difficult obstacles that or situations I've seen, each one very different from COVID, but nevertheless that have made me think about what I could learn. You know, when I was in business school, we had Black Monday. The stock market had the largest single day drop it had ever had until that time. And then all the investment banks canceled job offers and so on. I've seen tech bubbles. And then September 11th, for sure, I had just flown out of New York Kennedy Airport on one of the last flights out before September 11th. I touchdown in Belgium right when the planes were hitting the World Trade Center. I remember the SARS crisis, because I used to travel a lot to Asia, and not being able to travel for a long period of time when that hit. And all those different experiences have made me realize that, you know, there are very difficult situations that emerge, but there is a tomorrow, and there's light at the end of the tunnel, and you just have to have a through cycle mentality. And as difficult as it is during some of these crises, which have different, you know, aspects. And then of course there was the 2007 and 8 financial crisis. There is a tomorrow. The human race is very resilient, and there's always something we can learn. And one of the things I think some students could consider is that going to school when there is a crisis is actually an opportunity to learn, because you're seeing business unfold through a real-time experiment or situation where you can really learn a lot from. And I look back on all those difficult situations, and have one of my real takeaways is every time there's been a crisis, I've been able to become a better person and to learn from my mistakes and through the difficult external environment. And part of what I learned also is that we should, you know, I've learned to be much more grateful for what I have, and to take, you know, to take things less for granted. And we've just come out of the hottest job market since the end of the Second World War, you know, and in those situations, sometimes it's easy to lose perspective that, you know, life has its ups and downs, and, you know, we have this COVID virus, but there's going to be there is a lot of suffering and difficulty for many people, including students applying to school. On the other hand, there will be a silver lining and there will be a tomorrow. I'm an optimist for the human race. And my hope is that, you know, there will be a period of prosperity once we work our way through the aftermath of the COVID crisis. I believe there will be prosperity down the road, although there will be short-term pain. But in that environment, if you look at the role of education, where there's uncertainty, education helps to create new options for life. It retools you for a very uncertain future. And I certainly believe that an MBA at a top school like Darden is a worthwhile investment, perhaps especially in an environment where there's tremendous uncertainty like the COVID virus.
When you think about the future of the Darden School of Business, I know you're always thinking ahead on things. What are you thinking about? Short-term, long-term, what's on your mind?
Good leaders always need to have both a microscope and a telescope at the same time. You gotta be looking at the near term and saying, what do I need to do now? And then you need to have a look around the corner to see what's on the horizon, because some things take a longer period of time to achieve. You know, we're doing both at Darden. A lot of the short-term adjustments and innovations the prospective students have seen and read about, the new late start option becoming more test flexible, things like that, and there are many others I won't repeat because they've been published clearly. But also looking on the horizon, we're very optimistic about the future for Darden. We have a very strong financial situation. We have a very loyal alumni base. Our students are highly sought after by companies to lead. And, you know, we have a very exciting strategy that we're very far along on implementing. We've got our new Washington, D.C. Platform and, you know, a number of exciting projects here at Darden. And so I'm optimistic for the future, recognizing that, you know, the next period of time here is going to have its challenges. There's, you know, the COVID virus is not going away anytime soon until everybody's vaccinated, which will take, you know, probably well into next year. You know, no one knows when a vaccine will come out, but in the meantime, there'll have to be a lot of creativity and innovation to continue to do the best that you can in that circumstance. And, you know, we're up to the challenge, and all the faculty and the staff here at Darden are committed to continuing to deliver one of the best educational experiences and student experiences on earth. And we will do the best we can with the cards that we are dealt.
So we ask kind of the same last question of everyone who comes on the podcast. I'm gonna vary it just a little bit here. What's one piece of advice you would give any student who is starting at Darden? What would you share with them?
One piece of advice would be to manage your energy to get the most out of your time. A lot of people just think about how to manage your time, but actually the secret to getting the most out of your time is to manage your energy properly, especially even if you take the current COVID situation. There's a lot of things that drain your energy. If you watch too much of the news and all the body counts and things like that, it's really an energy drain. So you have to go back to basics and say, what are the things that actually give me meaning and give me energy on an emotional, spiritual, physical, or intellectual level? And make sure that you do some things to replenish your energy tank, because it's a lot of other things that will take energy away from you. And you know, the amount of time we have on this world is limited. So the real secret is to make the most of the time that you have. And I have found that focusing on managing energy is one of the best things that you can do to get the most out of your life.
Well, Scott, thank you so much for taking time for the podcast. It was great having you on here and talking with you about all these things. We covered a lot of ground. I hope you and your family stay safe, and thank you again.
Thank you, and thank you, everybody. I hope to see you at Darden on Ground soon. Thanks a lot, Brett.
And that was my interview with Scott Beardsley, Dean of the Darden School of Business. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at Darden, that's D-A-R-D-E-N, at virginia.edu. Or if you have a suggestion for the Exec MBA podcast, you can reach us at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA at darden.virginia.edu. And until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.